The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio. We're open line through till 1. Call 66 13 68. Text or WhatsApp on 166 177. Email studio at manxradio.com. Tomorrow we'll be talking about pharmacy. Your pharmacist and you, part 2 with Nick Kay. Remember Nick was in a few months ago talking about the part your pharmacist plays and the way that we interact with pharmacists has changed over the past few years. Well, more from Nick tomorrow. And just a quick warning, if you like, or a little tip, that next Tuesday, a week today, Jane Paul Wilson, MHK, and Dan Davis, the Chief Officer of Home Affairs, will be on Man in Line. So it's Home Affairs a week today with the Chief Officer and the Minister, and Pharmacy tomorrow with Nick Kay, and you on the air today. Call 66 13 68. Anything else you want to talk about, then by all means do get in touch. The yield on long-dated UK bonds has risen to the highest since 1998. The pound has fallen. The UK Prime Minister, the government, Sir Keir Starmer's government, is looking to regain confidence of investors who remain concerned over the fiscal outlook. Why am I telling you this? Well, just bear with me. Yields on 30-year gilts jumped 5 basis points to 5.69%. The pound weakened more than 1%, lagging all other major currencies. The reason I say this is, if the UK economy is in trouble, then one of the places the UK economy looks is to the Isle of Man. I don't know whether you remember, but it was years ago that cash-strapped the UK put pressure on the Manx government to revise the VAT sharing agreements. Do you remember when Gordon Brown came, well, hardly cap in hand, really, with striped vest on, and raided us? It took us 5 years and more to balance our books back then. If the UK economy is in trouble, who knows what plans they have for the Isle of Man? Of course, doesn't apply to the Channel Islands because they don't levy VAT, whereas we do. So perhaps the Treasury, perhaps the Chief Minister, the government has got a plan B just in case the Chancellor of the Exchequer in the UK looks towards the Isle of Man. We wonder. Any thoughts on this? And also, we're on guard against another voracious predator. The yellow-legged Asian hornet has appeared in the south of Britain. It has now spread to Yorkshire. If it came to the Isle of Man, it would create havoc with our glorious, precious bee population. Our bees are world beaters. We export bees. So fingers crossed that either the yellow-legged Asian hornet or the UK Chancellor of the Exchequer doesn't have their eyes on us. And David's with us today. Hi, David.
Hi, Randy. And this is my own opinion now, is regarding this new vision from the DOI regarding the housing agency.
Yeah.
Can I ask people to realise that what are they talking about? They're wanting directors. Don't they realise that we have local authorities on the island? I'm not speaking on behalf of any of these local authorities. There's 26 of them, right? One of their main functions and duties is to provide housing and to provide and manage housing. So why would anybody want to put a housing agency together at an arm's length, I presume, like all these other arm's length companies we've got, like the Steam Packet, the one that's got the nurses home, and we don't know how many people have actually renting them and what income we're getting from that, is to say to them all, really, at the end of the day, why invent the wheel when you've already got a wheel with all the spokes in it, which is a local authority? You can actually transfer the housing stock over to them by some sort of agreement, or maybe not sell them to them, but some sort of agreement that we manage them and maintain them. And that's what local authorities do. And I just can't believe what she's trying to do and her department. I don't know what hoopers involved in this, whether he is or not. Maybe he'll come on sometime in the future.
David, what do you think it is that they think they are doing? Because obviously they think they've got something to bring to the party. What do you think they think they're doing?
Well, she did say in the interview with Gorney, they picked it up right there, there was $7 million in an account, which is, they don't ring-fence stuff. I don't think government can ring-fence stuff. It all goes to the department as such. So at the end of the day, there was $7 million odd in value there that should be, in my opinion, expended on housing. That's either creating new ones or assisting local authorities to acquire land and develop. That's what our main function is, and that's what local authorities and certainly landowners or people who want to sell land to a local authority want it for first-time buyers and maybe sell some off themselves. I mean, you look at, just digressing slightly, you look at Kell Properties up the north there. Look at that development they've done there as an entrepreneur or people done something for the community.
Yeah.
Building houses for people who are, they've got air source heat pumps, panels on the roof. And I haven't looked this morning, like, but just to tell you too, my panels are doing great. I just can't believe our government, through their maybe DEFA or whatever, is putting a scheme together to say to people who can afford a little bit of money, is to say, reinvest in putting PV panels on your roof, and we could save the power station for the winter months anyway. And you can get stuff in the winter. I've got a 10 kilowatt battery, which is charging up as we speak now, which then runs the house when we're not even using the grid. I can't believe it. Like I said, a week or so ago, I got my electricity bill, £27. As soon as my wife told me that, I said, pay it. And we did. And we even got the discount on it.
So what was the impetus then? Why did you suddenly decide to go for PV panels?
Well, I did have an insurance claim. I had photovoltaic panels on my roof, which went to the water, give us maybe two fills of oil a year free, and made hot water. But what I've got now with PV panels is I can shunt that to the house, and the spare electricity, I just watch it all the time, this app. Andy, you need to get that app and put it on your computer.
So tell me, why do you think the government isn't? Because you're obviously a big convert to this, because you talk about it all the time. Why do you think the government isn't sensing the fact that people would want this and putting a scheme together for everybody who can to get PV panels?
I'm at a miss or a loss from this government, actually, at the minute. And have been for a long time, and the loads of people that are the same is, what are they doing to help the population of the Isle of Man? What are they doing to assist us for the future? And what I'm doing now, hopefully my side of the family is doing something which is supporting my family and friends for the future when I'm not here, to make sure that, you know, this house, when it's sold, is going to be worth a few bob,
yeah,
and it's going to be providing free electricity. The advances in PV panels and air source heat pumps and stuff like that, I didn't go down the road of air source heat pump because I didn't fancy that at all. The simplest way and the most effective way is putting PV panels on the roof. And you know, I keep whinging all the time about the schools are going back,
yeah,
tomorrow, aren't they? All those schools have been making no electricity for anybody. They've never been making it for the government or shunting it out to the grid. And the kids have been off, 10 weeks?
Okay.
They haven't used.
So, David, can you give us an idea of what your return on your investment is on your PV panels? How long is it going to take for you to make your money back?
I haven't done a calculation now, but all the reading I've done and being involved in being in a tradesman and looking at the future, I've discussed it with my wife, because there's two of us. We made that decision, and my wife said to me, go for it. So that's what we've done,
right.
And she's pleased every day. I just come home now to get on the Manor Line, now you're back, and just say to them, but I don't know what these government departments are doing, and why do we want directors? Don't directors want paying?
Well, you would assume that.
And where are they going to get them? Where are they going to get directors? Because local authorities sign a thing of confidentiality, secrecy. We've got standing orders which govern us, what we can and cannot do. And local authorities, that's their main function. So all you've got to do, DOI, is just say to these local authorities, in this area, an ideal one would be Laxey or Garth. There's quite a lot of houses there, local government houses, like, and say to them, look, you, if you can manage them and maintain them, you look after them. And you may lose staff in the DOI. And I think that's probably one of the biggest things. I hate to say this, but anyway, at the end of the day, is we're not cutting down on staff, are we? We seem to be growing it in certain areas. That's just it. But anyway, towards the end of the week, I want to go on to Cura. So I'm just prepping you up for the future. Okay.
All right. Good to hear from you. Thanks, David. Cheers. Now, 17 minutes past 12. And Andrea dropped a note in just to say, is the DOI minister trying to justify her position and detract focus from the 20-mile-per-hour scheme that is still ongoing? She was hoping to have the results of the first consultation by now. She said she would sign an order and have the signs changed in a day if she wanted to, says Andrea. Well, that's the story about these external board directors are sought for the new housing agency. Well, I understand that they are unpaid roles. These unpaid board directors will oversee the delivery and set the strategic direction. Government wants to hire external board directors for this housing agency, which is being established within DOI. The purpose of the agency is said to be to accelerate the building of affordable homes and to improve access to housing. It's going to take over from the DOI social housing and affordable housing schemes. Income from them will be ring-fenced to help support future projects, while funding will also come from developers in lieu of building affordable houses themselves. They'll only manage government-owned social housing and won't manage local authority stock. That's that story. Julian with us now. Hello, Julian.
Hi, Andy. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know when elections are coming up, when Ports and Mary High Street gets its surface redone after decades.
I'm sure it's a complete coincidence.
Oh, yes, I'm sure too. A quick recap on yesterday's programme. I've been questioning why the Isle of Man Climate Change Act's emission improvement reporting only goes back to a baseline year of 2018, when the UK, Europe and the Crown dependencies of Jersey and Guernsey count all their improvements since 1990. And my position is that it hides the amazing achievement of reducing emissions on the Isle of Man radically ahead of everyone else in 2003, when the 1980s diesel generators were replaced by our modern clean gas power station. And the last caller that was on yesterday called in to say that I'm wrong, because emissions were so high by 2017, it was better to start reporting from 2018. But unfortunately for yesterday's caller, he's been reading an old report from Professor Curran that was written 6 years ago in 2019 called the Impact Report. Yesterday's caller is seemingly unaware of a new report recently published this summer by DEFA and the Climate Change Transformation Team. The title of this document is Isle of Man Greenhouse Gas Inventory Guide 1990 to 2023. This was commissioned from the consultancy firm ESA, and it's downloadable from netzero.im. This new report corrects Professor Curran's radical errors and includes all the data back to 1990, which I think the caller yesterday said hadn't been done, but it actually has. If anyone looks at this ESA report, on page 2 of the new report, it states, and I'm quoting directly from the report, between 1990 and 2023, emissions on the island have decreased by 3.62%. And this is whilst over the same period, the Isle of Man population has grown by 15,000 since 1990, which is a stunning achievement. So the decrease of 3.62% is completely at odds with Professor Curran's assertion that emissions have increased by 66%. And I think it was a catastrophic miscalculation using impossible assumptions in his models. The data in the new reports on page 3 and 4 corrects Professor Curran's figures of emissions, where he maintains that the island in 1990 was at 0.5 megatons of emissions, going up to 0.84, which is what the caller said yesterday. The new report from DEFA states that 1990 was 0.6 megatons, falling to 0.57, which is a fantastic achievement, considering that we increased the population by 20% in the same period of time. So my question still stands, why aren't we reporting our world-beating achievements in lower emissions since 1990, just like the UK, Europe, Jersey and Guernsey?
Why do you think?
And, well, Professor Curran's report erroneously jacked up the emissions of the island by 66%, whereas in actual fact, this has all been corrected recently by the Climate Change Transformation Team. I'll read the report again in case anyone wants to have a look at it. Isle of Man, Greenhouse Gas Inventory Guide, 1990 to 2023. So that's done by ESA, which is one of the top consulting agencies. The caller yesterday also mentioned that the UK had reduced their emissions by 41% since 1990. But of course, this has been achieved by gutting almost all of the UK's industries, handing the business to China, where they'll pollute anyway, and destroying tens of thousands of skilled jobs in the process. And the consequences of this being to decimate the UK economy, which somebody's just mentioned about. So, you know, was this going to have consequences for the Isle of Man when they come looking? And I've got another question based on what I've just been looking at in my research. The primary goal of net zero is to save the planet from catastrophic climate change by reducing emissions. So why is the MUA cranking up the gas power station along with the old diesel generators that are still there to export large amounts of electricity for use in the UK whilst at the same time penalising our emission reporting and increasing them by 57%, more than we need to?
So are we, surely this huge, how much electricity do we export? Where do we get that figure?
This is on an FOI. It's varied over the years, but in recent times, it's been 192 gigawatt hours. So that's a lot of electricity when you think that the demand here is between 350 and 400 to satisfy the Isle of Man. So if you're sending out an extra 192 of those units, you're putting the pedal to the metal with the power station, more than you need to just look after ourselves.
Yeah.
So if the whole point of this is about saving the planet, the only reason to do that is a bit of money. And I find this strange that we're overrunning the power station, not overrunning it, but we're running it much higher than we need to export to the UK. But we get hammered with the emissions report in the climate report.
Interesting. So, I always thought it would be quite interesting if the Manx Utilities people could come up with one of those apps that show the output of our power stations and where we actually get our electricity from and how much, how much do we send down the pipe to Blackpool? And it will be interesting to know. I mean, surely that will be quite easy to do, to set up one of those apps. The UK manages to do it with dozens of power stations.
Yeah, but if we stop doing it, we drop our emissions on the graph from the transformation team's graph.
Yeah.
If we dropped the equivalent of 200,000 tonnes on their reported amount of about 550, you'd almost be halving our emissions.
So why do you think Manx Utilities are doing that? They surely know the consequences.
Well, it appears that they're doing it to get money.
Oh, right.
But,
okay, revenue.
You know, but if the planet is... This is the hypocrisy of it, I'm sorry to have to say. Why are we upping the power station's output just to send it across when the whole net zero climate change thing is aimed at reducing emissions? Because if we just had what we needed and run it at an optimum level and not running it high, we'd save an absolute load of emissions according to the climate change. So I just still question, if the Climate Change Act was taken back to the 1990 starting of its reporting in its baseline year, and we stop exporting out to the UK, I estimate we probably drop by 3/4 of all our emissions, and we would literally be the lowest on the planet, nearly, unless you're somewhere on a deserted island somewhere in French Polynesia or something.
Okay. All right, Julian, we appreciate it. Thanks for calling today.
Thanks, Andy. Cheers.
27 minutes past 12, and Kevin's on now. Hello, Kevin.
Hello. Hi, Andy. Nice to have you back.
Thank you.
Just a quick update. I just want to pay credit to Julie Edge, actually. I was on a few weeks ago speaking to you about the training resources on the island for gas engineers and electricians. And I had an email from Julie Edge, shortly after the program. So she does actually listen to the Man in Line, which is good. And she's taken the comments on board that I raised and also through the exchange of emails that we had. And she's tabled a question, so it'll be interesting to see when that goes through due process what the outcome will be. So I think it's just to redress the balance, because I did say that she seemed to be oblivious of the lack of training for electricians and at the AM2 test centre.
Okay, what would you like to see? What do you want to see, Kevin?
Well, I would like to see that. Those training, I mean, the apprenticeships now, it's in the news anyway, but as far as I understand it, is that it's not possible to qualify as an electrician on the island, and I think that AM2 test centre is currently mothballed, and also the ongoing training and CPD for electricians, it needs to be balanced, because I know it's there for gas engineers, but given that gas is arguably a sunset industry, and electrical requirements for solar is on the rise, then it seems rather perverse that training doesn't exist. So I'm not sure whether she was totally aware that imbalance is there, but she's certainly done something about it. So I just want to pay credit to her on that score. Okay. But hopefully we'll see that change.
Good. Well, we're happy to pass that along.
Yeah, just another quick point. There was a charitable event that was happening on Saturday night at Morton Hall in Castletown, which was a bit of a surprise to me. I don't know whether many listeners know about it. But it's in support of cats, and in particular cats that are imported, believe it or not, from Cyprus. And apparently something's been going on for a while. And I believe that the charity raises funds so that cats can be imported from Cyprus. And I don't know whether they're sold onwards here or they're up for adoption. But I don't know whether any of listeners have heard of that before.
Oh, well, if anybody knows more about the Cyprus cat charity, we'd like to hear what it's about.
It just seems a little bit odd that, although it must be a worthy cause, but it just seems strange that we're not adopting local cats, but they're importing cats from Cyprus. But apparently it was well attended. So
okay.
I don't know whether any of the listeners know more about that.
Well, let's find out.
Yeah,
appreciate it, Kevin. Thanks for being with
us, Andy.
Today. Bye-bye. Good to hear from you, 12:30. And thanks again to Julie Edge for her listening to Man in Line and helping along. Let's get to the phones. Oh, just a quick word about the... Cyprus cats, can anybody tell us? And the other thing is about the number of bikes that are being stolen. Have you heard this story about the number of... lots of bicycles apparently are being nicked, and we don't quite know why it is, what exactly is happening with this, whether it was MGP or Classic TT, the amount of people, or whether it's people on the Isle of Man who are nicking bicycles. If you've got any information on this and you can tell us, then by all means do get in touch. And Robert's on. Hello, Robert.
Hi, how you doing?
Very well,
thanks. Bicycles or bikes being nicked?
Bicycles.
Right, okay.
Push bikes being nicked.
They had a tagging thing with the police down at the Sefton, didn't they, a few days ago, to make sure they had a sticker on them and get them all registered, didn't they? That's not what I wanted to talk about. What I wanted to talk about was the Green Party. They seem to be an island of expertise which is not being tapped into.
When you say the Green Party, the Manx Green Party, the Isle of Man Green Party.
Yeah, pretty much.
Go on.
I mean, they just seem to be... Well, I think they're an island of expertise that could be, you know, more... You know, you can talk to them, you can go down to the Green Centre where the old Safeway used to be near Sports Direct at the back of there on Saturday, and to see what's what, you know, and have a chat with them. But they don't seem to be, I mean, it's Friends of the Earth mostly and things like that, isn't it? But they don't seem to be...
I can't remember when there was a Green Party meeting last, to be quite honest.
Well, I think it's is it Andrew Langan Newton or someone like that who drums up support for
it? Well, he's the secretary, I think, and I think they've got a couple of politicians. I think certainly the chairman of Braddon Commissioners, Andrew Jessop, is a Green Party member, and Douglas Falk Horning at Douglas Council. He's
always been in, hasn't he? He's been a good advocate for recyclables and things like that, hasn't he?
Well, it will be interesting to see. Remember, there's a general election next year, whether the Green Party will step forward. They always manage to put candidates forward, but as it stands...
It depends if they get the young vote, doesn't it? It depends if they get the young vote.
Well, it depends whether the young vote turns out. That's the other matter, isn't it? I mean, we have 16-year-olds. Whether or not the 16-year-olds vote...
Well, 18 and something.
Yeah, we'll see. Okay, all right.
I mean, I just hope that they get their act together and put more candidates forward because, you know, we're in a biosphere. We've got... about climate change. I think that Julian just wants us to be Netflix subscribed to gas when gas prices are at the realm of international pressures, which can fluctuate wildly, for example, Ukraine, and we don't have any control over them. And I think it's just best to take back control of a certain amount of what we can do.
Do you think we should drill for our own gas, the Manx National Gas, off Mackled?
Not now. Maybe one day, but not now. Not at the moment. Maybe in 100 years' time or 200 years' time or something like that.
Okay. All right. Thanks for calling today, Robert. Good to hear from you. Maybe it's time to bring in the Green Party again. I think Lamara Crane. I think Lamara... Is Lamara still the leader of the Green Party? She's certainly not a Ramsey commissioner anymore, so we'll talk to the Green Party. Of course, it is counting down to the next general election. Have you made your mind up yet? Will you be standing as an MHK next year? The number of bicycles stolen on the Isle of Man in recent weeks is unheard of. According to the Chief Inspector Chas Maloney, Temporary Chief Inspector Chas Maloney, it's unheard of. Somebody is nicking bicycles. And presumably, they don't think anybody's noticing. But this didn't used to happen. Now... People who visited for the Classic TT, bicycles have been stolen. A notable rise in these types of crime during the racing period. Who is nicking bicycles? From the answer phone.
Hi, Andy. Just an observation on my behalf. Garth commissioners. Garth commissioners didn't want a sewage treatment plant in the village. It had to be moved to the tune of possibly millions of pounds relocating it. Now, lo and behold, Garth commissioners don't want the wind farm. I think it's the case that Garth commissioners want change, but not on their back door. It's all good and well trying to preach to people what we should have and what we shouldn't have, but the reality of the situation, most people that are in favour of wind farms and green energy are young people. They don't come onto Man in Line. But to hear Garth commissioners yet again voice their concerns about the wind farm, it's like we've been up this road before in relation to the sewage treatment plant. They're quite happy pumping sewage into the bay. They're quite happy burning the ozone layer with power stations. I think it's about time they addressed exactly what their agenda is, because as far as I'm concerned, we need to go forward with this wind farm. Garth commissioners need to get with the programme. Bye now.
Any thoughts on that? Call, text, email and WhatsApp. And what do you think of this new plan to make use of the old Barclays Bank building in the square, in the market square in Castletown? There was a meeting on the 27th of May, and the meeting, Manx National Heritage told Castletown commissioners there was a confidential briefing relating to their proposal to invest M&H funds into opening a facility within what used to be Barclays Bank in the Market Square. M&H are now going ahead with that, so what do you think about this? Is it a good way forward for Castletown? Presumably, they'll take, if they're going to do a facility in the Barclays, but it's quite big, they'll take the shop out of the castle and put it there, and it will be open onto the square itself. Just a thought, if you shop or live around Castletown, and of course what's going to happen with the parking in the future, whether or not there's going to be parking in the winter and events in the summer, or it's going to be pedestrianised all the year round. Just any thoughts on this? And I hesitate to mention, what about the Peggy? What's going to happen to the Peggy? Languishing there. I mentioned that the UK government could be a voracious predator to the Isle of Man. Now, this is really, really serious, because it's something over which we have no control. If you head to the ports across to Heysham and to Liverpool, you'll see pull-up banners that say that you shouldn't be importing stuff into the Isle of Man that's going to make our bee population endangered. The Manx authorities are on guard against this voracious predator. It is the yellow-legged Asian hornet. It's an ugly-looking thing, and it's appeared in the south of Britain. It's in Yorkshire now. If it came to the Isle of Man, it would create havoc with our precious bee and I say precious. Our bees are world... if they were in the Olympics, they'd be gold medal winners. They'd be there with Usain Bolt. Harry Owens is the government bee advisor, and he says warning traps are at our ports.
The hornet goes and hovers round where the bees are coming back with their nectar, water or pollen or whatever, and grabs them, cuts them up and takes them into their colony and feeds their larvae on the carcass of the bee. And not only bee carcasses, but they're eating or using all the insects that they possibly can get their hands on or their mandibles on and feed their larvae. So it, not only the bees are getting affected, but all other sorts of insects are in the ecology and affects everything.
But they can't fly across the Irish Sea, presumably. So how would they get here?
So it all started in France quite a number of years ago when a consignment of goods came into France to a garden centre, and the packaging had a one or maybe more queens, Asian queens in hibernation. They were in Cambridge, they're now in the Yorkshire area. What it is they come in a container of some description. They could come in a pallet in the hibernation stage and emerge in the spring from that pallet. The one individual queen starts the colony off on her own, as does a bumblebee. A queen bumblebee does the same. So these have got that potential of coming in and expanding.
Acting independently. And pretty-
oh, yeah. One insect can create 100 drones at some months later, if you understand my logic on that. And an S can be the size of a dustbin. They're extremely protective. If anybody disturbs one of those nests, you would be in very deep trouble.
This is really serious. This is really, really serious, because if our bee population is disturbed, if our capacity to make that gorgeous Manx honey, but not only that, there's an export industry in this. We export our bees because they are free of the varroa mite. Perhaps this doesn't interest you, and perhaps you think this has nothing to do with me because, you know, my washing machine leaked overnight, or the radiator sprang a leak, or I can't afford to pay the car bill. So what does the health of our bee population matter? It matters, because if it is affected, the road back is almost unnegotiable. So please, I would urge you to take care and avail yourself of the information. This yellow-legged Asian hornet, now in Yorkshire, could be heading for the Isle of Man.
Hello, this is Doug Farragher. In conjunction with Manx Radio, I'd like to invite you to join us and learn something about our native Gaelic tongue, the language of man.
Scrap metal coming out of your ears? Then there's only one place to call, Castaignes Scrap Metal, of course. Castaignes pay top prices for lead, brass, copper, aluminium and stainless steel, as well as ferrous metals, scrap vehicles, and they're even licensed to scrap lead acid batteries. Drop it off today or Castaignes can come and take it away. Castaignes Scrap Metal, Foxtel Road, call 801-337.
Spectrum Windows. If your house needs a new look and your windows let in rain, keep those cold breezes out and make it look like new again. Spectrum Windows, Spectrum Windows.
In this case for Manx Car Store, let's review the facts. Firstly, you handpick an excellent range of quality cars for all budgets, are a trusted car sourcing specialist, you knowingly open 7 days a week, and are subject to an excessive number of five-star web reviews. How do you plead?
Guilty.
Very well. This court hereby declares Manx Car Store 5-star.
Don't take their word for it. Find out for yourself. Visit manxcarstore.com or find them on Facebook.
Relaxation takes time. That's why downstairs at Millichap's new stressless showroom, we encourage you to wander in, have a seat and lean back. Take time and find out which of Stressless's incredible range of different sized recliner chairs is right for you. Some have matching sofas too. Lean back on a Stressless. Relax your body and free your mind. Then you'll understand the Stressless Eureka moment. Experience the amazing new Stressless showroom downstairs at Millichaps of Ramsey.
Are you a small charity here on the Isle of Man? Are you looking for volunteers, hoping to raise awareness and chasing those crucial pounds and pennies to support your work? Well, Manx Radio can help. You could be our next 1-3 Charity of the Week. With daily on-air coverage, podcast and social media promotion, we can help support you and those you help. Just email the numbers 123 at manxradio.com and listen out for the feature each weekday between 1 and 3pm. The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
The Man in Line with Andy Witt.
17 minutes now before 1. Thank you, Michael, who says, Andy, without bees and wasps, the whole planet is under threat. Quite right. We can talk about climate change, climate emergency, climate panic or whatever, rising sea levels. No bees, no pollination, no food, no us. End of. So bees are precious. The beautiful Manx bee that we have is iconic and also preserves our way of life. Here's Patrick with us now. Hello, Patrick.
Afternoon, Andy. Just a question. Has there any decision or possible decision been made on whether the offshore wind farm or land wind farm is anywhere near the decision?
No, not really, apart from the fact that the government has decided it's something that should be looked at. So at the moment, we're out to consultation at the moment. But I mean, in principle, it's on the rails. It's there to be had. It just depends whether the government can do the deal with Ørsted, I guess.
Yeah, that's what I was ringing in about. Surely, if you've got a deal with a company that guarantees things, you're better off than that than trying to build your wind farm on island and having all the infrastructure, the problems with it, the disposal, everything else. It's just madness, in my opinion. I hope when the new election comes up, I hope we vote in people who've got qualifications.
They were called Dong Energy before, and we can see why they changed it. They've built dozens and dozens of these things, so they obviously know of what they speak. They're backed by the Danish government, Ørsted. So, as you say, you reckon it would be better to go offshore than to do it? I mean, because the one onshore will be Manx Utilities.
Yeah, that's 100% is the offshore one, because Manx Utilities, I used to work for them, and this business about exporting energy to the UK, we used to put the engines on, diesel engines on, black smoke coming out of the chimney. It wasn't economical. It didn't make any money, I don't think. I've heard from several bosses who say it didn't really make any money. So what is the point of Peel Power Station is run up when the export, which is it's just polluting the world, it's polluting the atmosphere, it's crackers, absolutely crackers. It's lying empty all year round, and then as soon as the winter months come, we export for, 2 hours a night? It's just madness, absolute madness. So if they can't run the MEA, what's the point in putting land wind turbines up? It's just madness, absolute madness.
Okay, all right, okay.
Let's hope when the elections come round, we have people who are brainy not likes of me or anybody else. Let's have someone who's got their brains.
Okay.
Okay, Andy.
All right. Well, thanks for calling today. This is a call out to anybody who's got brains. Will you stand next year for the election? It's not that far away. The election is going to be on, oh, let me see. It's, what are we? Key's election is going to be Thursday, 24th of September, 2026. 8 a.m. till 8 p.m. Thursday, the 24th of September. So it's what? A year and 3 weeks away until we go to the polls again. If you're thinking of standing, and I'd take my hat off to you if you're thinking of standing for public election. It's a daunting prospect. You have to have courage, you have to have a fairly thick skin, and you have to know what you're about. And I'll take my hat off to you. Could we get some data about those two existing wind turbines that are at currently at Ballaglee Farm they're at, to decide whether Eerie Stain is viable? Because those two existing wind turbines have been there for over 15 years. Is that true, Steve? So there must be some data available. We've got a GP in charge of our coffers. The UK will walk over us yet again, says Pammy. Well... I mean, he is a GP, but he's qualified. He doesn't know of what he talks. We're talking about the Treasury Minister, Dr. Allenson. Thanks also to we want to know the return on investment. When David's talking about the return on investment, I think not only is it the fact that you save on your electricity bill, I mean, the amount of tens of thousands that it would cost to put in PV panels. I think the thinking is, Paul, that you put it on the cost of the property when it's sold. So a property with PV panels, solar panels, will be worth more when you sell it. As for getting your money back, I don't think it's a short-term thing. The more people who generate their own electricity, the higher the cost has to be for those of those who get it from the MUA, says Dave. Interesting, Dave, 452. It would be nice to know. Maybe the Manx Utilities people could put out some sort of app or a website just to see how much electricity is generated by private photovoltaic panels. How much do they get as a proportion of what is generated, whether it's through Paul Rose or Peel or Ramsey is not there anymore, is it? Look at the DfE board's digital agency as a prime example. It's chaired and filled with non-exec directors who have their own motivations to drive strategy and arguably not in the benefit of the Isle of Man, says Jason. These people have their own businesses, given what a resounding failure the DfE agency structure has proven to be. More agency chief execs, more salaries are inevitable. Well, I think you're talking about this idea of this new housing entity, this new housing agency, and the fact that they're recruiting board directors. Well, they've said they're not going to get paid, so we'll take them at their word at the moment and see what happens with this. I sort of agree with David regarding the housing agency. Wouldn't it be great if government and local authorities worked together for their constituents, says Andrea. And just thinking about the Ørsted turbines, why don't we offer them a smaller area off the seabed for lease at the 12-mile boundary? Suggest they specifically have smaller height turbines and size them so to suit the maximum export allowance that we have on our interconnector cable plus the base load of the Isle of Man. We could run a cable from the turbines directly to our island grid and export all power that isn't needed at no risk. This would vastly reduce our reliance on fossil fuels, that's the gas and the diesel power station, and would provide an income stream for Ørsted to provide a smaller scale project with minimal visual impact. Whilst it may not achieve anywhere near the £50 million annual income for the Isle of Man, it would reduce our reliance on gas and oil, further reduce our carbon footprint, and also tie in the water to see how well Ørsted perform. Keep the turbines 12 miles away. There's no need for them to be any closer, says this correspondent. Well, we don't quite know what the timetable is. Nobody's saying when, if given a, pardon me, pardon the pun, but a fair wind, when these turbines will be built, operational, and contributing to our economy. When do we get the first check is an important thing to consider. It's very good to let people speak their knowledge of what's really on. I think the Grand Prix was planned much better this year. Pity the weather went bad nearly before and after most races. Good for the race results, but the fans do suffer. It's down to bad SRM teams dropping us in it, says Maxwell. How did you enjoy the MGP and if you like, Back to the Future or Back to the Past? Thank you, Julian, says Alison. Good to hear some common sense. Julian for Chief Minister. He's got to get elected first. And to get elected, he has to stand first. Julian is right. That professor got his figure wrong. Once corrected, it reduced our emissions by 53%, which is double what the climate change target for 2035 was, says 284. Today, the UK power is 42% renewables, 28% fossil fuel. So Simon says, big up to the renewables. Well, at least you can tell, can't you? If you go to Gridwatch, there are many, one's called Gridwatch, and it will tell you exactly where their power's coming from, whether it's CCGT, closed-circuit gas turbines, whether it's renewable, whether it's wind, solar panels, and also from fossil fuel. If we get most of our electricity from the UK, which is supposed to be green energy, why do we need wind turbines? Well, we don't get most of our electricity from the UK, 068. Oh, thank you. I just need to tell you about next Tuesday. I've mentioned the fact that Jane Paul Wilson is on next Tuesday, and Dan Davis, who's the chief officer from the Department of Home Affairs, Justice and Home Affairs. So if you have any questions regarding this, and lots of people get a bit irate, they come in at the last minute and can't get a question on, because if you can get a question in beforehand, it really works well, because we can plan, get the questions ready, and give them to the politicians. So if there's anything you want to talk about regarding Justice and Home Affairs, and remember, Justice and Home Affairs covers all sorts of areas. I mean, fire and rescue, there's the constabulary, cyber security is Home Affairs, the prison and probation service, emergency planning, civil defence, anti-money laundering, and that's really important regarding Moneyval next year, disclosure and barring service, parole, licensing, police complaints, there's hate speech, hate crimes, and the road safety strategy. So that might tie into the 20 mile per hour limit. Jane Paul Wilson, MHK, and Chief Officer Dan Davis on Man in Line next Tuesday. So if you want to get something in the meantime, you can email maninline@manxradio.com or call the answer phone on 682-631 and leave a message. You hear Man in Line answer phone messages played out all the time, and I'm very grateful for them, because not everybody has the time to call. Some people are working, some people are out and about, and if you want to just leave a message on the answer phone, that would be great. A note in that just says regarding if the MEA is exporting power to the UK, is it for the same price that we have to pay, or what does the UK pay? Again, Dave, these are questions that it would be nice to know. You can understand they probably quote commercial confidentiality, and these things may be bought on a spot market or maybe on a futures market. So I think at some point the public really will need to know more about our revenue generation capacity. If we are going to have either an onshore wind farm or an offshore wind farm, it will be nice to know. And now you know what's coming, and that is 29p. At the moment, we pay 29p per kilowatt hour. It would be nice to know how much we're going to pay in the future. John said, I do hope the police catch the cycle thieves. Could there be another gang check? Check the vans on and off the boat. The last time we had a number of thefts, there was a gang coming over to the Isle of Man. Were they ever caught? This needs stamping out to keep our island reputation. Well, it does, doesn't it? Because there may be people who come to the Isle of Man for the MGP or the Classic TT thinking it's the good old Isle of Man, the innocent Isle of Man, where you don't need to lock things up. And then they come across, and then their bicycles get nicked. And we're not talking about Tupney Halfpenny ones, £300-£500 bicycles getting nicked. And that ruins our reputation, because people talk. They'll go back. They'll say, how was the Isle of Man? And they'll say, well, I got my bike nicked. In the Isle of Man, really? Bicycle theft in the Isle of Man. Wouldn't it be preferable to have the actual museums open in Castletown rather than opening an M&H shop? Visitors aren't going to come to look at a shop. Put the funding into keeping the museums open, says 068. But we'll see what's going to happen with the old Barclays. Seems it's a pretty pass, isn't it? No banks in Castletown. The square used to be full of them. I'm inclined to say going down the green agenda may make us feel better for doing it, but until the likes of China and India reduce their emissions considerably, nothing we do will make any difference. Sadly, it'll just make us feel better about ourselves, says Ian. That's it. Thanks to Howie on the phone. He's going to be back tomorrow with Nick the Chemist.
W-I-N-T.